Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening. I'm broadcasting from right outside of Orlando, and not so beautiful day. It's a rainy day down here today, wherever you may be listening from around the world. I welcome you and hope you enjoy the show today. As usual, we have an insightful show, and we're going to basically follow the same outline that we always follow, where we talk about the week in after news review. Where we look at a few articles that have come out this week and dealing with natural health and natural remedies or things of that nature. Then we'll move over from there into the week, healing foods section. And after that, the final segment, we'll deal with the healing herb, healing supplement section, and we'll continue our discussion with respect to milk thistle, our most powerful and effective herb today. And so, again, I'd like to remind you, if you want to call in, you can do so. It's at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Also, you can, if you'd like to send me a friend request on Facebook, you can do so at facebook.com/naturedoc. That's facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also look me up on Twitter. Let's look up Nature Doc, or do a search for Nature Doc on Twitter. You can also follow me or go visit my blog at phase3ministries.com. That's PHASE, the number 3ministries.com/WordPress. And you'll find a lot of valuable information there with respect to free information with respect to natural health and natural healing, the use of herbs and remedies. You can also listen here to previous broadcasts on Blog Talk Radio. We have all of the broadcasts that we've done here. Also, we have some even on here from the local radio station where we were broadcasting for last year. And so we have lots and lots of information, valuable information. Some of this information is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to you, or some of it is beyond value. If it has helped you bring you back to life, from death to life, or and a better quality of life, better quality of health. Now, what we're going to do here, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back. And again, if you're listening and you would like to ask a question, you can call. You can do so at 917-889-2207. Also at blogtalkradio.com/zonewellness. We have the chat room open, so you can ask a question there as well if you don't necessarily want to call in. Again, we'll be back after this brief moment, and we will get started with the show shortly.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on bluezonewellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/bluezonewellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm broadcasting from right outside of Orlando, Florida, to all of my good friends around the world, wherever you may be, especially my good friends over in Costa Rica, as well as right here in the U.S. We're going to go ahead and get started with our program. We're going to start with our first article, which is an article taken from naturalnews.com. And it's a very interesting article, and it talks about the amount of time that new doctors spend with their patients. And this article is listed as saying new doctors spend less than ever, just 8 minutes per patient. An article cites the New York Times, article. It says that the New York Times is reporting that new internists spend an average of 8 minutes per patient. Worse, they are relying more heavily on electronic information than ever. This means they touch you less, interact with you less, and make more decisions based on what they read on a computer screen. Given their time constraints, docs are conscientiously figuring out how to move through patients more quickly. And I know this to be true. I have a friend who's a medical doctor. She's an internist, actually, residence. And she's doing a residency. And she was telling me that she was spending more time than she should have been spending with patients. And her higher-ups told her, listen, no more than 15 minutes. And you need to move them in and move them out. And I can tell you quite convincingly that it is very, very difficult to ascertain, if not impossible, what's wrong with a person, a complex human being, in 15 minutes. It's not possible. And so as this article points out, citing the New York Times article about how doctors there and new internists are just spending 8 minutes per patient, that could be very, very troubling. The author goes on to point out in this article that says, here are some of their strategies. According to this article, skip the introductions and don't tell patients your name. Don't sit down. It leads to longer conversations. Don't interact with family members who may be in the room. Make decisions based on scanning information in the electronic file and taking supplied electronic recommendations rather than discuss and think it through. Don't touch the patient. It takes too much time. And the article goes on to say further that you just need to take charge and be willing to do some research and find the doctors and alternative health practitioners in your area that actually care about helping people rather than making a ton of money. And the article goes on to say further, just this month at my semi-annual doctor appointment, I had this very conversation with my doctor, an osteopath, who spends 30 to 45 minutes with me during a routine office visit. He says it's crazy, and then the author cites the conversation with his osteopath. He says, quote, it's crazy and getting worse, he said. My colleagues are hell-bent on making money, and that's about it. They may go an entire day without even touching a patient. It takes too much time to lay their hands on people and feel what is going on. I had a second opinion case not long ago where I found a massive tumor in this woman's abdomen. She had gone to her doctor complaining of a stomach ache. He didn't even bother to feel her stomach. If he had, he would have discovered this tumor the size of an orange. The author goes on to citing his osteopath, says of course these guys are making $600,000 to $700,000 per year. I make peanuts, but I can't get myself to practice medicine like they do. So this particular author recommends that this is a doctor that cares, and then he gives some more recommendations on if you feel that your doctor is not spending enough time. He gives more recommendations. He says, find a naturopathic doctor. Naturopaths typically are about spending time with people and finding the underlying cause of symptoms. This is true. I can't remember any case that I personally had that I spent less of someone who's come to my office on an appointment. I can't think of a single case that I've ever had that the person spent less than an hour. In most cases, it goes over an hour. So I know for a fact that I've never sat down with the person under the appointment and spent less than an hour. You have to have time. You have to find out their mental habits, any stressors that are happening in their lives, their eating habits, any sicknesses that they may have, anything that they may have been diagnosed with, any drug medications they may be on, any herbal medications or supplements they may be on. And then you have to talk with them and find out, just get to know them better. This can give you an idea of some of the things that are causing their problems. many people have said on this show before that 90% of all diseases have their origin within the mind. And so a lot of people are suffering because they're struggling with mental challenges or emotional problems which originated with anxiety or anger or stress or any of a number of things. And so when you understand this, you can know that it's not easy it's not even advisable, it's not even possible to be able to understand, sit down with a person for 15 minutes who may be a diabetic or who may have hypertension or they may have cancer or they may have lupus or they may have any number of diseases. Even just a simple headache, it could be difficult to determine in 15 minutes what the underlying cause may be. And so, again, this article points out further, and rightly so, that naturopaths would typically care more about spending time with people and finding out the underlying cause of the problem. They talk about finding a local compounding pharmacy and ask for a referral to a local practitioner. Typically, compounding pharmacies know the local natural health practitioners. Goes on to say, if you like your doctor, but he or she doesn't spend enough time with you to address your concerns, then negotiate, ask for more time, offer to pay more if you can, or to get more time. He goes on to find another suggestion that he makes is to find a practitioner of lifestyle medicine. And he points out that lifestyle medicine is a powerful branch of functional medicine that uses non-pharmaceutical interventions to treat serious medical conditions, and it works. And he cites one of his friends, who's a doctor, Wes Youngberg, author of the book Goodbye Diabetes, is a lifestyle medicine practitioner who has facilitated the healing of all manner of so-called incurable medical conditions, all without the use of pharmaceuticals or invasive medical interventions. And you will find that basically that many naturopaths and herbalists would have done something similar. Because by sitting down, talking with your client or patient or whatever the case may be, you can determine based upon information just how some of the underlying causes of their disease or abnormality, and therefore then and only then can you make right and correct assessments about what you may need to do. Again, I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to go over to our next article. We're still in our first segment, the Week in Natural News segment. And in this particular case, this next case study here, not case study, is we're going to talk about this new study that came out, this article, citing the study that came out, entitled B Vitamins Help Reduce Brain Shrinkage and May Prevent Alzheimer's Disease. And we've talked about B vitamins when we were going through a segment on the different vitamins and how they help in the body. We talked about B vitamins, and if you didn't catch those shows, you can go back into our archives and find out and listen and read the description and see specifically how certain B vitamins, what they do, what they're good for, how to recognize if they're the deficiency, etc. This study here, according to this article, entitled B Vitamins Help Reduce Brain Shrinkage and May Prevent Alzheimer's Disease, is also taken from naturalnews.com, and it says the article starts off by pointing out how Alzheimer's disease is pathologically characterized as a reduction in brain volume, commonly referred to as shrinkage or brain shrinkage, as well as an amyloid protein tangles that prevent efficient communication between the neurons that exist in your brain. So we talked about here before how the B vitamins are very important. They're very complex, and once we understand how the B vitamins work, we talked about how they were very important with respect to your adrenal glands before, and helping you deal with stress. But this study here also points out how they are beneficial for your brain and helping prevent Alzheimer's because of brain shrinkage that is involved with it. And this article, he goes on to point out further, fortunately, many natural nutrients, curcumin, we've talked about that, resveratrol, vitamin D3, we've talked about that, have been identified by researchers over the past decade, that effectively cross the blood-brain barrier to counteract, reduce brain volume, and naturally clear protein clumps that threaten memory retention and normal cognitive well-being. So here we have, the Creator has given us substances that can actually help cut back on the brain shrinkage and the amyloid plaque that are actually hindering the capacity of the brain to relay messages. And the according to this article, researchers from the University of Oxford, publishing a result of a study in the proceeding of the National Academy of Sciences, have determined that high dose B vitamin treatment can actually slow the atrophy or the shrinkage of specific brain regions that are a key component of the Alzheimer's disease process, which is commonly associated with cognitive decline, as we often see those who are going into that state. Many people see their parents going into Alzheimer's, etc. The article goes on to say, prior studies have identified elevated levels of the protein amino acid known as homocysteine, which significantly increased risk of depression and development of dementia. Homocysteine is a toxic breakdown compound that is elevated in the blood due to a diet high in animal proteins. Now, let's stop there for a second and discuss this. We've talked about here on Use Your Own Wellness on many occasions why I advocate, as a practicing naturopath, a plant-based, or what we call a vegan diet. And you can see here, as this article points out, it one of the reasons why. Let me back up and read that and just look at this a little closely. The author says closely, in this particular article, prior studies have identified elevated levels of protein amino acid known as homocysteine with significantly increased risk of depression and development of dementia. Homocysteine is a toxic breakdown compound that is elevated in the blood due to a diet high in animal proteins, and also contributes to increased risk of cardiovascular disease. So who would have imagined that eating flesh meat or eating meat during this chemical breakdown, increase the level of homocysteine in the blood, actually contributing to brain shrinkage over time and contributing to cardiovascular disease. The article went on to point out further how elevated homocysteine levels persist when intake of B vitamins, folic acid, and B12 are limited, commonly seen with a diet high in animal protein and lacking in vegetables and fruits. So we can get a lot of our B vitamins from eating copious amounts of varied vegetables and fruit and reducing or eliminating the consumption of flesh foods. So here we see here again one of the ways that animalizing our internal system can actually decrease our brain's capacity to function and even affect our cognitive abilities and in our intelligence. They also goes on to say further, to conduct the study, scientists evaluated 156 elderly people with mild cognitive impairment. 80 of the participants, the article goes on to say, were given a combination of vitamin B12, 500 micrograms specifically, 20 milligrams of B6, and folic acid for a period of 2 years. A second group just received placebo pills. Now, the results of this study, according to the researchers, were that those receiving the B vitamin treatments demonstrated significantly less brain shrinkage as compared to the placebo group. The lead study of the author, Dr. Dave Smith, commented, he says, quote, in those with high homocysteine levels, disease shrank 8 times more slowly in those taking B vitamins than in those on the placebo. This is strongly indicative that the B vitamins may be substantially slowing down or even potentially arresting the disease process in those with early stage cognitive decline. So here, interesting, reduction in the consumption of flesh and the increase in the consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables. The article goes on to say further that the research team noted further that this is the first Alzheimer's disease treatment shown to potentially arrest the advancement of pathology and symptoms with no toxic pharmaceutical or side effects. Dr. David Smith, who was the lead author of the study, concluded, quote, this makes the need for early screening for the first signs of cognitive decline from the age of 50. Our study shows that those with a homocysteine level above 10 MCMOL a liter, which is about half of all people over age 65, potentially may benefit with reduced brain shrinkage by taking high-dose B6, B12, and folic acid. Men and women over the age of 35 should have their homocysteine levels checked annually and supplement daily with the high-potency B vitamin complex to dramatically lower the risk of developing dementia and cardiovascular disease. So again, We talked about the B-complex vitamins on here before. We talked about how important they are. And here we see another study spelling out how extremely important they are to our cognitive capacity, our brain. Not only our brain, but also the other parts of our body. When, if you've listened before and you've listened to the, how important your B-complex vitamins are, your adrenal glands, and some of the other areas of the body. Again, you're listening to You Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to break very, very quickly, and we're going to come right back and continue in this first segment where we're talking about the Weekend Natural News Review. When we come back, we're going to talk about the next article that spells out how women are 40% more likely, this is the title of the article at least, women are 40% more likely to develop mental illness than men, according to a recent study. We're going to also talk about how to balance your hormones naturally with certain foods and how to prevent. And then we'll go into our week and our healing food segment. We'll be back in just a second.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net. And join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are still in our first segment, the Weekend Natural News Review segment. And we're moving on to our next article, and that article is entitled, Women are 40% more likely to develop mental illness than men, a study concludes. This is from the same site, naturalnews.com. And it says, for reasons that are still largely unclear, the article points out that women are much more likely than men to develop some form of mental illness during their lives, whether it be depression, schizophrenia, or simple anxiety. And this is based on a new study. And based on an analysis of this 12 large-scale epidemiological studies on mental illness, the researchers from the Oxford University determined that when it comes down to depression and anxiety disorders, women are as much as 75% more likely to suffer than men from these type of disorders, which I find very interesting because these type of disorders, when I was putting together my dissertation, and I talked a little bit about it in my book, The Biblical Foundations of Wellness, how there are many, many studies out there that show that people who suffer from, we were talking about Alzheimer's in the last segment, but people who suffer from these depression and some of these other things, they also increase the likelihood that they will develop long-term mental issues, be it depression or anxiety, Alzheimer's, as a result of this depression. And I suspect, just my theory, and it's kind of similar to this article, I suspect that women tend to have these mental or high, or tend to be at a higher risk in developing mental illness, simply because they are more emotional, and women would tend to go more with the emotional side of their natures. And this could, I suspect my theory is to cause a mental or emotional imbalance. And if this is done on a consistently over the period of time, this could very, very easily lead to, in my mind, just my theory, medical issues. And I believe, just from observation, that it's probably not too far off of the mark. The article went on to say further, though, that the studies used to make this determination were conducted from all over the world, including in the UK, the US, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. And though not a formal meta-analysis, the final analysis of these studies involving comparing rates of mental illness among large numbers of people from all backgrounds and from all walks of life, the researchers were also careful to account for the external factors that might tinge the data, and as the fact that men are less likely than women to seek for help for psychological disorders. So they also took that into consideration, that a female or woman will tend to seek help for a psychological disorder order far quicker than a man will. And this is not only true in respect to emotional or mental issues, this is also true with respect to physical issues. Guys, don't be macho. If you're having health issues, or if you're having mental health issues, or physical health issues, or even spiritual issues, you need to get some help. You don't need to try and be macho. That's not going to help anyone. In fact, it's going to hurt you. Now, the article went on to say that when all was said and done, the team observed a very clear distinction between men and women in terms of mental illness prevalence. And as it turns out, says the article, women are roughly 60% more likely than men to report an anxiety disorder, and 75% more likely than men to report depression. And overall, women were found to be between 20 and 40% more likely than men to suffer from any mental condition, which is particularly due to the fact that women generally handle their problems differently than men do. And then the author of the article quotes the stress sex. He says, quote, There's a pattern within women tend to suffer more from what we call internal problems, like depression or sleep problems, the author says. And he's the author, and the author of the article is actually quoting or citing the author of the book, The Stressed Sex, which is written by Professor Daniel Friedman, a lead author and visionary behind this new book. He says they take out problems on themselves, as it were, where men have externalizing problems, where they take things out on their, or where they take things out on their environment, such as alcohol and anger problems. But the author is also very quick to point out that on the flip side, there are some experts that insist that the findings are overblown and not entirely accurate. And he cites another professor from Manchester University, for instance, commenting on the studies, and he said that the actual prevalence of mental illness is fairly balanced between the sexes. And in her estimation, men and women are equally susceptible to mental illness, and that stress is not always a factor in determining mental illness outcomes. And in terms of survival, quoting Professor Catherine Abel, the author of this article, says, in terms of survival, we're not exposed to stress compared with our ancestors. Now, the article goes on to point out how they typically would try and use the basis of evolution as a scientific basis to determine many of the so-called facts in medicine. And I just like to go on the record as saying that is not a good premise to start with, because we're assuming that the evolutionary process or outline or model is true, something with which we have no scientific backing to be able to prove. Because to prove something scientifically, you have to have had observation, and because we weren't there to see the creation, then it cannot be called science. And so there's the belief in evolution is just as much of a faith as those of us who believe in creation. And so I just like to put that on record, that to just point out to make sure that a lot of studies and a lot of doctors and a lot of schools now will base their science or their scientific findings or the outcome or their scientific conclusions will be based on an evidentiary model or their ideas of their thoughts of things should or this can't be because things changed and the evolutionary model and this and the et cetera. And we have to remember that we're going over then from science into faith. If you're going to say it, if you're going to reason from faith, then we should reason from faith. But if we're going to reason from science, we need to reason from science, unless there are elements that are in your faith that are consistent with what you're pulling out and calling science, and so that's not a problem. But if it's inconsistent with science, and we're pulling it off, passing off as a science, when in reality it is a faith, then we need to understand why that is not a good recipe. Now, we're going to move over into our next article. Again, and it's entitled, Balance Your Hormones Naturally with These Food Remedies. And hormones issues, as this article points out, hormone issues have increasingly become more of a focus of health discussions over the last couple of decades. It's almost as though hormones didn't even exist for some time until connections made to hormone imbalances were linked or associated with cancer. Yes, hormone is very important. Probably every case that I have in some way involved, every case of a person being sick that I have, in some way I've seen it involves hormones, an imbalance of hormones in many cases. Maybe it's just the people that I happen to see, maybe those are the ones who have the most hormone issues, but I suspect that is probably large. When someone comes in to see a doctor, a naturopath, or a herbalist, or whatever, I would be willing to bet in most cases, if they're sick and they're there, that there's a hormonal issue involved. It may not be the only issue, it may not be the main issue, but it's probably involved to some extent. And this article goes on to point out how mainstream medicines respond to synthetic hormone replacement therapies was a bust, and alternative natural hormone therapies moved into that void. And he says endocrine or hormone disruptors like BPA, bisphenol A, is called, and phthalates are commonly found in household plastic products, and they tend to leach from those plastics into its contents or into your child's mouth. They mimic actual hormones, usually sex hormones, but also others, including insulin, and they replace the actual benefit hormone with that what amounts to toxic waste. So one solution is to board those items by doing your own research and carefully reading labels. And so now that we have an idea, we have to ask the question, essentially, what are hormones? What do they do? Actually, the word hormone is derived from the Greek word spur on, which is a main function of your hormones. They are fluids created by cell clusters known as glands, which are secreted to target cells awaiting functional commands and other issues as well as in other tissues, as well as in other organs. There are two major types of endocrine hormones, steroids and peptides. And steroids are generally sex hormones such as estrogen and testosterone. These are created from cholesterol in the ovaries and testes, and if they become imbalanced, they can actually create havoc. Now think about that for a minute. We've heard people talk about how women are testy when they start their period, and this is because their hormones have become involved. Their hormones get thrown off. And here, as he points out before, when you have hormone imbalances, as he points out in this article, they can create havoc in your mood and your attitude and your health, create sterility, maturation, and even gender identification issues. So here we have a lot of. Any practitioner needs to understand the role of the hormones in overall health and attitude and emotions and relationships, just in anything. Now, when you start dealing with peptides, they are more concerned with regulating your blood sugar and as well as your sleep cycles, as opposed to your estrogen and testosterone, which are mainly dealing with your sex. And not only that, examples of peptides are insulin, which is there for to regulate sugar and melatonin, as well as melatonin for regulating, ensuring sound sleep. Thyroid hormones are peptides that tend to regulate metabolism in general. So fluoride in water and pharmaceuticals and probiotics used in commercial Baker hamper thyroid hormones are actually some of the other things that we have to deal with in understanding how hormones function. That there are different types of hormones. They do different things in the body. They're in many cases responsible for how we feel. That's why I said earlier, imbalanced hormones can really, really throw off your mood. But how can we help the foods that we eat? How can these foods actually help benefit our hormones? Now, when we start with the thyroid, we can look at some of the iodine-rich foods such as seaweed, especially kelp, beans, maybe some organic organic non-dairy yogurt, cranberries, Himalayan sea salt, and fresh organic strawberries are some of the top choices for iodine to help keep your thyroid hormone production very high. And of course, there are also iodine supplements. So think about who would have thought that eating strawberries can actually help keep your hormones in check. But yep, the Creator has placed within these foods so many medicines. And so let your medicine be your food, and let your food be your medicine. Those are just some of the food that you can eat. There's also, when you eat, some of the things that we've talked about on the show previously, when you've heard me talking about eating in harmony with the rainbow. Now, as we eat in harmony with the rainbow, those seven colors of the rainbow, Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, and violet. The closer you eat in harmony with those colors and combined with eating as close as possible to the diet, the more likelihood exists that you would have good health. Other foods that can actually help benefit our hormones are foods like or phytonutrients. For instance, you can help your liver break down excess hormones rather that the body is no longer using. So phytonutrients from cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cabbage and kale and cauliflower, they actually help your liver do that. So your liver also needs sulfur compounds found in garlic and onions. So think about how your liver plays a very large role in your hormones. And sometimes women can have really, really, for instance, women can have really, really significant problems with their period. And many times a naturopath or a medical doctor, whoever, We need to concern ourselves many times that there's liver congestion. And if there's liver congestion because of the functional role of the liver in association with hormones, if the liver is congested, this could actually be affecting the hormones. It could be affecting other bodily functions, even your monthly cycle. So it's very important to understand the physiology of the body and the anatomy and also the biochemistry of the foods, of the biochemistry of nutrition as it relates to physiology. So again, those are just some of the foods that can help benefit the hormones in the body. Again, eat a balanced diet, eat in harmony with the rainbow and eat foods that are as close to the garden as possible, you can pretty much evade any hormonal problems. Exercising as well and following those eight laws of health that you've heard me discuss on here so often, being the trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. These things will help keep our hormones balanced, and you will actually find that it will be easier to handle your appetite, your sexual urges. You'll have to worry about some of the many, many, many problems that can occur when our hormones are in disarray. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening. We're going to pivot over now from our Week in Natural News segment, and we're going to go over into our segment dealing with healing foods. And our first healing food is going to be tomatoes. I mentioned early on that there's new research that came out that showed that tomatoes can actually help prevent strokes. Now, I don't know if you were a constant listener, you heard me mention in the past that tomatoes, pasta, not so much the pasta, but the sauce, tomato sauce, especially when it's cooked or heated to release some of the other benefits of it, is actually very, very, very beneficial to help keep the prostate healthy. But there's new study out that actually also shows that tomatoes can be very helpful in preventing stroke. And so according to this research involving the health benefits of tomatoes, new information shows that a tomato-rich diet can actually dramatically reduce your risk of even having a stroke. And this was found out by a study of scientists over in Finland. And according to the BBC, the Finnish researchers were looking into the impact of lycopene, which is a bright red chemical element that occurs naturally in tomatoes, that not only in tomatoes, but also occurs in watermelons and peppers. And this lycopene is the beneficial nutrient that has been found to help so significantly in prostate issues. Now, in this particular study from the Finnish, by these Finnish researchers, they took 1,031 high-risk men, and those with the most lycopene in their bloodstream were the least likely to have a stroke, according to the scientists, and they published their findings in the journal Neurology. And the National Stroke Association says that stroke kills twice as many women a year as breast cancer. So that's pretty significant. So double the amount of women that die yearly from breast cancer are killed by strokes. We know that cardiovascular diseases right now are the number one cause of death in the U.S. and perhaps even in the world. And the Creator, again, has given us the powerful, powerful tomato to eat. Other research indicates that men are also more likely to die from a stroke or develop a serious complication from stroke than women. So men, even though women are twice as likely to die from a stroke as breast cancer, they're also, the research shows that you are more likely to die from a stroke or develop a serious complication from a stroke than is a woman. Now, following the Finnish study that we're discussing here, the BBC said British Stroke Association called for more research into these findings, and Dr. Claire Wharton, the group's research communication director, pointed out. He said, "We all know, and I'm quoting, that eating plenty of fresh fruit and vegetables is good for our health. This study suggests that an antioxidant which is found in foods such as tomatoes, red peppers, and watermelons could help to lower our stroke risk." So again, when you hear me talk about eating in harmony with the rainbow, you can see why, and you can see how more and more studies are coming out to bear this to be true. Quoting the same doctor, Dr. Claire Watson, the group research communication director, says, quote, "However, this research should not deter people from eating other types of fruits and vegetables if they all have health benefits and remain an important part of a staple diet. More research is needed to help us understand why the particular antioxidant found in vegetables, such as tomatoes, could help keep our stroke risk down." And so here we have tomatoes being studied, bearing out that tomatoes can actually reduce the likelihood that you will have a stroke. And so you listen to Blue Zone Wellness. We're in our segment dealing with healing foods, and we're just looking briefly at an article that pointed out the ability of tomatoes to actually reduce your stroke risk. And I just want to look in and see. We're going to look a little bit more at the study and find out how it played out. And according to the study, the researchers came to their conclusions after tracking the study's participants' blood levels of lycopene, which were measured at the beginning of the study, and they were tracked over the period of 12 years. Now, the men who participated in the study were broken into four groups based on their blood lycopene levels. 25 of 258 men were put in the low lycopene group, and they suffered strokes compared to 11 of 259 men in the group with high levels of lycopene. And so as a result, researchers concluded that the risk of stroke was cut by 55% with a diet rich in lycopene. Now, this study, according to Dr. Journey Kruppi, who is the PhD of the University of Eastern Finland in Kuopio, who was the lead author, he says, quote, "This study adds to the evidence that a diet high in fruits and vegetables is associated with a lower risk of stroke." So, listeners, if you are eating high amounts or copious amounts of fresh fruits and vegetables in your diet, you can significantly reduce the likelihood that you will have a stroke. And not that only, though, we don't just suggest that you just eat more lycopene and take lycopene supplements or just eat more tomatoes. We advocate the entire ultimate healing package of the 8 natural laws of health. If you can get that much benefit from just 1 week, how much benefit could you get from and eating these tomatoes with the rest of the laws of health, drinking plenty of water, exercising, etc., dealing with your stress and things of that nature? How much, if you can get that much benefit, even in a week, as I said earlier, from just doing that one thing, how much more would your benefit be if you follow all of those laws of health? Now, we're going to pivot over to and look at our next topic in the healing food segment. Again, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. We have Uzone Wellness. You can go to Blog Talk Radio / Uzone Wellness, and you can deal with it in the chat room. Also, if you would like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Now, this, I'm broadcasting live right now. If you're listening 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time and on the East Coast, wherever your time zone may be, but if you're listening to any time other than that, you're just listening to the rebroadcast or the archive. So, of course, you would not be able to call in. And so, but right now, we're going to look at another study that showed how you can reduce your blood pressure by using vitamin C. But we're not going to talk about vitamin C itself. We're going to talk about some foods that have vitamin C. We're talking about one in particular. You may be surprised to find that cayenne pepper is very high in vitamin C. And we know that oranges are very high in vitamin C. And there have been numerous studies that have shown the benefits of vitamin C. And this last study goes to show that vitamin C can actually, again, reduce your blood pressure. Now, that's very important because cardiovascular disease are the number one disease or number one killers in the U.S., as I said earlier. And back in 2012, the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine conducted a systematic meta-analysis of 29 different studies on the effects of vitamin C for reducing high blood pressure. And in their study, they entitled the effects of vitamin C supplementation on blood pressure, a meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials. And according to them, the study's median dose, daily dose of the vitamin C of ascorbic acid was about 500 milligrams. And so, again, and even though they were talking about, they were using supplementation, my point in this particular healing food is to look at those foods like oranges, lemons, limes, any fruit that has vitamin C in it, cayenne pepper. There are many others, and you say cayenne pepper is not a fruit, but cayenne pepper is a food. And so looking at some of the foods that have healing properties, and there are others, but remember, if you eat foods that are high in vitamin C, you can greatly benefit the likelihood that you would be diagnosed with hypertension, or you cut down the or some other vascular disease. Not only that, you cut down the likelihood that you could actually end up having a stroke or having a heart attack, because you're going to help clear out your vessels, your blood vessels. Again, you're listening to Dr. Keith Henry on Uzone Wellness. What we're going to do, I'm looking at my time, I'm down to about 12 minutes. So we want to get over, we're going to pivot over, and we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to pivot over, and we're going to talk about milk thistle. We began to talk about it a little bit last week. And it is, as I mentioned, it has no equal. And as some other herbs have, they have an equal in the pharmaceutical world. But there is not an equal to milk thistle in the pharmaceutical world. It is one of the most advantageous and most effective herbs for what it does for your liver that we have. And it is very, very, very important to know how to use it. And it should be a part of your repertoire. And its benefits on the liver are great. And I said earlier how the liver plays a large role in hormonal function as well. So when you begin to think about how we're talking holistically about how all of this ties in together. So when I come back, we're going to continue our discussion with respect to milk thistle. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We'll be back in just a minute.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I thank you for listening so far on the show today. Again, I'm broadcasting from beautiful Orlando, Florida. They have a little rain going on here, so not as beautiful as usual, but still a beautiful day, notwithstanding the little cloudy, because it seems that the sun is beginning to come out again, having one of those nice summer days. And we're going to go into our final segment now, which is our healing herb, healing supplement segment. And I began to talk about a little bit last week about milk thistle. And as I said before the break, milk thistle is extraordinarily useful in the treatment of liver diseases such as alcoholic hepatitis, cirrhosis, liver poisoning, as well as diseases like viral hepatitis. And it is, as I said earlier, one of the very few herbs that have no real pharmaceutical equivalent. It regulates the digestion of fats. Just a little reminder. It regulates the digestion of fats. It can help stabilize your blood sugar and cholesterol. It reduces inflammation of your intestines, and it promotes the excretion of certain hormones. Now, like I said earlier, as I said last week, there have been studies that have found that milk thistle has other benefits as well, ranging from prevention of altitude sickness to the prevention of common side effects in the treatment of Alzheimer's disease with Cognex, which is a drug. So even some of its benefits have been shown that if you're having side effects from certain drugs, in this particular instance that I've mentioned, the Alzheimer's drug, Tactrin or Cognex, and no doubt it's because it's toxic to the liver, and the milk thistle helps to detoxify the liver, and that would help explain why it could be used to kind of offset the side effects if a person was on these drugs for Alzheimer's. I would recommend, if it was me though, to not even take the drugs for it, but to try and go the natural way. But then people have the medical freedom, or they should have the medical freedom, to decide. To make an informed decision on which way and which direction they want to go. Now let's look at, and again it's a bit of a repeat, just a refresher from last week. We talked about how milk thistle can actually benefit those who are suffering from acne and constipation, as well as Crohn's disease and irritable bowel syndrome, because milk thistle actually increases the production of bile, which is a fluid created in your liver that helps break down fats in your small intestines. Now, by increasing the flow of bile, milk thistle actually helps remove via your stool the testosterone byproducts that cause acne. It also helps protect the intestinal lining in Crohn's disease, and it relieves constipation. including the constipation that's involved in irritable bowel syndrome. So by including milk thistle, you can actually help your body with acne, with Crohn's disease, as well as irritable bowel syndrome. Again, as I said earlier, that it's very helpful in alcoholism and cirrhosis and hepatitis. Silymarin, which is an extract of milk thistle, acts on your membranes or acts on the membranes of your liver cells, and hereby it helps prevent the entry of virus toxins and other toxic compounds, and thus help prevent damage to your cells. Not only that, milk thistle can also help dramatically improve liver regeneration and hepatitis, which is amazing to me. And not only that, not only in hepatitis, but also in cirrhosis of the liver, as well as in mushroom poisoning. Not only that, there's other diseases that affect the liver that milk thistle is very, very beneficial for. In fact, there was a study conducted by a German pharmaceutical firm, and in this study, they looked at 2,637 people who had used milk thistle for various liver disorders, including cirrhosis of the liver, fatty liver, as well as hepatitis. Now, after 8 weeks of taking standardized milk thistle capsules daily, 63% of the study participants said their symptoms, including abdominal distension, fatigue, lack of appetite, and nausea, had disappeared. That's a very significant number, 63%. That's well above the halfway mark. The average improvement, according to the study, in levels of ALT and aspartame or AST enzymes that are markers for actually your liver cell death, was 46%, and over 73% of enlarged liver shrank in size. Only 1% of the study participants. Were forced to discontinue milk thistle because of side effects such as mild diarrhea, nausea, and stomach upsets. So I've taken milk thistle before, and I found it to be very, very beneficial. One of the things I noticed is that it increased the likelihood for me to urinate, which tells me that it's helping the body eliminate toxic materials out of my body. So again, we're talking about milk thistle and what it can do. Other studies have focused on specific disorders, and they've also shown positive results when using milk thistle. In fact, it is well documented that in terms of about 116 double-blind study of individuals who had alcoholic cirrhosis of their livers. Now, this is very interesting. And German researchers have found that milk thistle, in these particular cases, exerted a profound curative effect or a profound curative action in as little as 2 weeks on people with cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. Not only that, there's another study, a later study, found that 29 people with advanced alcoholic liver disease reported relief from nausea and restored appetite after only 2 months treatment with milk thistle extract, silymarin. Not only that, in cases of hepatitis B and C, a flavonoid complex in silymarin stimulates liver production, liver protein creation, enabling your liver to produce new liver cells to replace the old one damaged by the hepatitis infection. And so, again, this is very, very interesting how effective milk thistle is beneficial for liver disorders. And you remember I said earlier, your liver is so, so, so important to so many functions of your body. Now, next week we plan to continue on talking about the beneficial effects of milk thistle in atherosclerosis, gallstones, high cholesterol, in your overall iron load. We're going to talk about a little bit with respect to cancer, diabetes, Parkinson's disease, and psoriasis. And we'll talk a little bit more about some other areas where we've been able to see that milk thistle is essentially, without equivalent, unparalleled in the world of natural medicine by any pharmaceutical. And you don't have to, the benefits compared to the side effects, which are almost nil, are amazing. You've been listening to Uzone Wellness. We are about out of time. I want to thank you for listening. If you didn't catch the show live, if you weren't able to listen to the entire show, rather, be sure to go back. The replay should be available, probably in about 10 minutes, maybe less. Again, join me here again next week on U Zone Wellness from 4 to 5 p.m. Thank you for listening.